So, three things that modesty involves, and I'm not going to go, obviously, back on what we talked about, but three things modesty involves. One of them we've already kind of started to talk about, and that is where God wants us to start, and that is a transformed heart. You know what? Maybe in times past, I haven't always thought about my inward appearance as much as I need to. And have you ever talked to somebody that, just in their initial conversation with them, they're a nasty person? Just by their overall demeanor, just by how they have started off saying some of the things that they have and stuff, and the language that they use, you look at yourself and think, man, this is just not a good person. Not a person that I want to associate myself with. Unfortunately, I've run across those folks from a Lord's Church perspective, right? Just because you put on the name Church of Christ doesn't give you a get-out-of-jail-free card, so to speak, and doesn't mean that these Satan's devices, like we just talked about, can't overtake you from time to time as well. But this is where, as I've said before, this is where the starting point is for modesty. We read a little bit ago in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart." I think that's where I wanted. Yeah, let a hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Above and beyond anything else, modesty starts with our heart. And I appreciate Brad's prayer so much there as well. God looks within our hearts, right? God focuses on the inward person of us. That's where our soul lies, right? And all the things that we think, all the things that we say and do within our heart, within our mindset, is what's going to be judged. Our body's going to go away. Our body's going to go back to the dust from whence it came. But what goes on to eternity, come good or bad, is our souls, is our heart, what we think, thought, said, and did within our hearts. So let's do some reading on this right now. Let's turn to Mark chapter 3 and looking at the first five verses. Says, "And he entered again to the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, that he might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said to them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto them, Stretch forth. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as the other." They could care less what the initial inward thought and principle was. They could care less that this man that had this withered hand, right, this crippled hand, if he was going to get healed or not. Their overall focus was what? On the outside. Hey, is Jesus going to heal this guy on the Sabbath? Oh my goodness, is he going to break the law? We could care less about the healing aspect and care less about the person that's getting help now. We care about, is Jesus really going to heal on the Sabbath? And so that's a Pharisee approach, and we see that happening more and more in today's society as well. And Jesus has the answer for these folks, right? "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You guys knock it off! Focus on that inward person. Quit to worrying about the person that's constantly on the outside." He says again in Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 25 beginning, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup." I love this verse. Highlight this in your Bibles if you don't have it done already. "For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhortation and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Clean yourselves inside first, then worry about your outside. When I was in the F-16 program office, I was in a meeting one time with a program manager, and he's a guy that had the same coffee cup every single day. He had had it for years and years and years. And on the outside of this coffee cup, it was a white coffee cup and had a F-16 fighter on both sides of the cup, and not look like a nice cup. One day, I was sitting right next to him. It was a big conference room, a lot of people. And I was sitting right next to him, and I looked over, and it looked like there was coffee grind caked in there about a good 3 inches thick. And I looked over at him, and I said, "Man, don't you ever clean that cup?" He said, "Yeah, on occasion." And so I kind of got that mindset when I read a verse like this. On the outside, that cup looks great and clean. But on the inside, it's full of muck, it's full of dirt, it's full of grime, it's full of nastiness, so to speak, right? And so, unfortunately, you see that happening all over the world today with people. On the outside, their act is together. They look like they're doing great. But inside, they're a terrible person. They have terrible thoughts. They want to do malicious behavior and so on and so forth. And so Jesus' overall message here is, hey, cut it out. Woe unto you, scribes. Woe unto you, Pharisees. Woe unto you, you hypocrites. Coming out and using some pretty strong language towards those guys. And so, what is my motivation? I have to ask myself as a guy, what is my motivation for the way that I dress? Is it godly motivation? Hey, what I put on, I'm representing God. And so, the whole aspect of us guys getting up here behind the pulpit in front of an audience, wearing a shirt and tie, is that we're representing God. If I'm meeting with a general, if I'm meeting with a colonel, lieutenant colonel or something on the Air Force, I'm putting on a suit and tie and I'm going to look as professional as I possibly can. Well, this is God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And so I want to put on as much of a professional appearance as I possibly can. I'm not going to dye my hair like pink or purple. I'm not going to come up here, you know, raggedy old clothes and stuff like that. Jeans maybe with holes all in them or what have you. What the cool kids are wearing these days. I'm going to look as professional as possible. Now, how you define profession versus how I define profession is in and of itself between ourselves. I've seen some guys look very clean cut with just a nice polo and some slacks on and stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to get in depth and detail preaching a dress code that's not mentioned in the Bible. But I have to ask myself, is at worship services, at work, out in the local malls, am I trying to profess godly motivation? Am I trying to profess godly behavior? Secondly, does it reflect the grace and beauty of womanhood, ladies? You have to ask yourselves that. If you're wearing maybe short shirts and maybe pants or dresses that kind of come down past your waist a little bit to where you bend over, your whole backside is showing and stuff like that, you got to ask yourself, is that being a graceful woman? Is that being a graceful sister in Christ? Is my low cut top doing the exact same thing? What about my extremely short shorts? My niece went to a birthday party a few weeks ago. My niece, who's not a Christian, wore some short shorts I've ever seen. And I told my brother about it. I'm like, dude, come on. She's a teenager. And you know better than that. You can't be letting her walk around and stuff like that. It definitely does not reflect grace, nor does it reflect any kind of beauty. Thirdly, does it reflect the dignity and honor of manhood? Hey, when I'm outside mowing the grass, and yeah, it might be a hot day, and yeah, I might not want a farmer's tan, but at the same time, I've got to ask myself, is it reflecting dignity? And am I bringing honor upon my body that was given to me by God? Or am I bringing shame? Or am I bringing disgrace upon God and upon the Lord's church as well? Am I trying to get the attention from outside influences? When I go to the gymnasium and maybe, and I've seen guys wear stuff at the gym that, my goodness, they shouldn't be wearing. But same thing with ladies as well. But am I wearing things because I'm there to maybe just work out and try to focus on myself? Or am I working out and I've got a hidden agenda? Right? My girlfriend and I just broke up and I'm trying to attract members of the opposite sex. And so I'm going to try to maybe do something a little bit extra to try to capture their attention on me. And I tell you, I said a little bit ago, kids as young as 10, 11, 12 years old, walking around things in the mall and stuff that you have to pick your jaw up off the floor because you're thinking to yourself, why on earth are they allowed to get away with something like this? And why, you have to ask yourself, why is our society the way it is? Well, you know, everything is just free for all. You do whatever you want to do. Even in the school systems today. I remember when I was back in school that a girl could not wear shorts that came, I think, past her came up above her fingertips. So she literally had to stand like this, and if their shorts were shorter than her fingertips, well, they made her go home. I've been told that's no longer even a concept in today's school system. They can just kind of get away with whatever that they want to do, maybe depending on what school system you go to as well. But what do my clothes say about me and my heart? What do they reflect about me within my inward person? Again, a businessman, and I'm sure Kyle can attest to this as well. You know, when you're going to these meetings and stuff like that, are you wanting to wear something that is very outstandish? Are you wanting to wear something that is kind of setting you out and apart from other people and stuff? Or are you just trying to be as professional as possible because you want the business? You want people to understand what your overall message is and so on and so forth. Doctors, you know, even prostitution today. Of course they're going to wear the most scandalous clothes that they possibly can because they're searching for the business. And even the city and country folks dress in certain ways based on who they are. So, again, this goes back to God does not give us a clear-cut description on what dress code is. But, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit as well, even depending on what culture you are, there is proper ways of dressing properly based on who you are inside of your heart. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Number two is what modesty involves. Well, it involves in a transformed appearance. We started within ourselves, and now we're kind of transitioning more towards the outer person a little bit, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think we covered this already a little bit, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, here it reads again, "In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." What you put on, the overall message and idea is that you're still able to perform good works with what you have on. Remember when Moses went upon Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments over in Exodus, what, 3 or 4 or 5? Somewhere along those lines. He came down from Mount Sinai, and because he was so filled with God, there was a difference about his skin. It glowed. It was so bright. So he comes down and starts talking to the children of Israel, and the children of Israel are so focused on Moses' face because it was glowing so greatly. What did Moses do? He covered it up with a veil. Covered it up with a veil so that his message could get across, so that the Ten Commandments message could get across to the people. The reason I bring that up is, with what you have on, what are you trying to teach folks? What are you trying to exemplify Jesus Christ with the clothing that you wear? You teach people every single day by what you say, by what you do, by what you put on versus what you don't put on. You teach people every single day. The word adorn there to me, basically means to decorate or to make attractive. How are you doing those things? Are you having to do it with costly array like we talked about earlier? Thousands and thousands and thousands worth of dollars, racking up credit cards just to buy the neatest and nicest of stuff? I don't know about you, but I've been to local Goodwills and I've gotten nice stuff for $2 or $3. You know, and I hang my hat on that kind of stuff. I think it's pretty great. It's pretty awesome. And then text that means decorate or make attractive or properly modest or proper or modestly. So it's okay, ladies and brethren. I've heard people say, you know, you're not allowed to wear jewelry and stuff like that. No. What this passage of verse is talking about is you can still decorate and you can still make yourself look and feel attractive, but there's a way of doing it. And the way of doing it is doing it in a proper manner and doing it in a modest manner, right? It's not a, you know, trying to put on the gigantic diamonds and jewelry or maybe flamboyant clothing and stuff like that so that you can be seen of men. What's the Bible talk about those folks? They have their reward. They got the pat on the back. You don't need to be that way or feel that way as a Christian brother or sister in Jesus Christ. We can look at several biblical examples of people that are doing this. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 22, we see women that made themselves clothing of silk and purple. What about over in Esther chapter 2, verse 9 through 12? She went through an annual ritual, right, where she kind of had this yearly body beauty treatment that she did. And so that was proper in the sight of God's eyes. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. A woman we see here where she adorned herself with proper or modest jewelry. We also see countless times in the Bible where people were wearing things that was still pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Lydia was a seller of purple, which was a nice fine linen that was sold back in that particular time of the New Testament scriptures. But nowhere does it state where men and women can't make themselves look attractive or make themselves feel beautiful or make themselves feel good as long as it's done in a proper and an immodest appearance. So being cognizant of what attracts the opposite sex, though, is extremely important. It is extremely important. The mindset of men and women are vastly different. I heard one kind of a joking side, but one person said, two things I can't figure out in life is one, how Family Video is still in business, right? Because all the Blockbuster videos are gone. And two, the female mind. I heard that a joke at work one time, and actually, it's kind of true. There's things that even when I first got married, it took me a good, and young guys hear this as well, it took me a good year or two because I've never had any sisters. I never grew up with any female cousins or anything. It took me a good year or two to figure out why Amber does some of the things that she does and why some of the things that I did agitated her and so on and so forth. And so the mindset of men and women are vastly different. We must keep in mind of various body parts that could cause someone to... Again, I've heard this message loud and clear before. Well, just because he is lusting after me does not make that my problem. And sisters in Christ and all of us, yeah, it does. We have to be cognizant of that. Maybe we have a fellow brother in Christ Jesus that is struggling with maybe lust after the flesh or something. Ladies, let's make sure we do our absolute best to be as modestly covered up as much as we possibly can when we're around that brother. Now, when you're at home between you and your spouse, you know, that's between you and your spouse behind closed doors, right? And there are things that we do for our spouses that we should not be doing for men of the opposite sex that we are not married to, ladies, and likewise to us men as to the females as well. So we got to keep in mind of various... And we're all adults here. We all know exactly what I'm talking about. That we humble ourselves and ask ourselves appropriately, is what I'm about to put on, could that send the wrong message to A, the church, and B, to the rest of the people in society that I might come in contact with as well? What about over in Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 13? I don't have it up here on the chart, but a couple of small notes that I had here. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 13 here. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You might not get it, you might not understand it, but hey, if there is potentially something that I'm going to wear that would be offensive to a fellow brother and sister in Jesus Christ, I need to make sure that I stay away from that. I'm going to take a side note here and say this as well, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want it to offend anybody whatsoever, but even during political season, I saw gospel preachers all over social media with the shirts, Make America Great Again. I'm not up here to talk about Republican this, Democrat that, Independent Party that, but every time this brother who is a fellow minister in Jesus Christ would post a picture, he would get 40 to 45, 50 comments. And it was people going back and forth. How can you support Trump when he this? Well, why can't you support Trump? And it just created this gigantic argument. And so I don't care what your political is. We all have got to use proper wisdom and to know and understand that that is a very sore spot in a lot of people's mindsets. And I don't care, again, what political party we're affiliated with. They're all a bunch of crooks. They're all a bunch of people that are after self and self only. They're all a bunch of money takers. They're all promising you one thing, and then 8 years later have not delivered on that promise, you know? So, again, I'm not trying to make a political speech, but that's just a case in point. We know a shirt. We know a bumper sticker. We know things like that is going to offend people. Why do we do it? Why do we see that? I worship with a guy who's dead and gone now, but was a staunch Democrat, would wear their Democratic little pin on his lapel to worship service. And I tell you what, it was like walking on eggshells around this guy because there was other people that was completely opposite. And so fights legitimately broke out in the back lobby of the auditorium. We're here to worship God or create political debates. So that's what I'm talking about. We've got to make sure that we're cognizant of things that are going on around us. An example of a woman's chest, example is a woman's chest, a sexual object. You know, I've heard that debate many times. Well, it's not really an object. It's to feed children and so on and so forth. I'm not going to take the time because I'm already about out of time. Read Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, what his thought process was about a woman's chest. Read Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 10. Solomon liked what he saw. in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 as well. So again, I'm out of time. I'm not going to take the time to read those verses, but study that with you further. Wearing clothing that belongs to you and makes you look like you, that is what's important. A transformed appearance. Wear clothing that belongs to you and makes you look like you. Again, this goes back to, I don't know how many times, even in a restaurant or something, but going back to what my daughter told me one time, "Dad, is that a man or a woman?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's a guy." And all of a sudden, a woman's name appeared on the TV screen, and I was lost. I just told my daughter that a man or that a woman looked like a man. And it's so sad when you look in society today and you can't make that determination. Deuteronomy 22:5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Hey guys, wear clothes that belong to you. And ladies, wear clothes that belong to you. And with our day and age today, and it's even being taught in the unschool systems, that we need to adapt to and accept the LGBT community, the transgender communities and stuff like that. And I always say this, you hate the sin but love the sinner. But how sad it is to know when you look at somebody, you don't know if they were a man or a woman. It's really, really sad and detrimental to especially our young Christian children. And then the dress code, well, what is it? I'm rapidly running out of time here. Where do folks get objective standards from the Bible? Does the Bible have objective standards? If you mean inches and styles and what we should wear versus not, then no. The Bible does not say a specific style per se is wrong. The Bible does not say thou shalt not wear shorts 4 inches above the knee to guys and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, it's just not there. And I've read tracts where people, where brethren have gone in depth and detail about how long a sleeve should be on a woman, about how long her dress should be down to her ankles. And I mean, it just got further and further and further and further away from the Bible the longer that you read a tract like this. There's a certain about a relativity and modesty. What was considered immodest 100 years ago, what is considered immodest in a different culture, certain amount of relativity to time and culture. I mean, these are constant debates that have taken place going all the way back to the 17th century. Does that mean that standards are arbitrary? Well, as kids we used to think so, right? How many lessons have we heard on modesty that talked about specific inches, that talked about maybe specific styles? We used to say that they were out of touch. But even though there were some relativity, standards of modesty are not arbitrary. The Bible does give some timeless principles, not about inches or style, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It's not about measuring inches. These principles cause you to measure the heart. And it all goes back to where modesty starts, and that starts from the heart. Real quickly, look at some of these fashions. I mean, going back to the 17th century for guys, you know, wearing the wigs and You know, kind of looking dope there, I guess, back in the 1600s. Going down to the 19th century, 20th century. No matter what century, no matter what culture you find yourself in, fellas, there is an appropriate way to dress. There isn't a modest way to dress. Ladies, the same thing with you. Going back to the 1900s and the mid-1900s and all the way down to the 2014s. Now, there is appropriate, modest ways of dressing. We just have to do it. We just have to accept it. It's up to us to humble ourselves and accept what God wants us to do. Which brings me to my third and final point, and I'll fly through this. And one thing that modesty, again, involves, it involves the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our basis on it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm like Cody, right? When you want to turn to the page something, your pages stick together and it's more difficult to get there. First Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to truth and the knowledge of the truth." That's what God wants you to do. Come to the truth and to the knowledge of what God wants and expects out of all of us. And in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, is Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles and in faith." Verity. I was going all over the place there for a second. So that's what God wants and expects out of all of us. Paul often begins the gospel with the gospel, and then he moves on to application, right? In verse 9, he goes down and says, "In like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array," as we've talked about. It reverts back to this context that we talked about here in verses 3 through 7. Us being able to come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, clicker, go with me here. It's one of the many expressions of Christian faith. You should be able to look at a person and say there's something different about them. Not necessarily say, well, hey, they're a Christian because of how they dress. But you should be able to look at somebody and say there's something different about them, right? They're not trying to expose themselves. They're not trying to wear the skin-tight stuff so that their inner body is trying to show out and things like that. 1 John 2:16 and 17, we've already talked about that this morning. Pride and lust are of the world, they're not of the Father. Don't associate yourselves with that. Don't go down that pathway. Don't subject yourselves to the things that the world has to offer. And it's so very easy if we're not careful. Pride, that's one of the lessons that I plan on doing here in the next coming months, with all of its desires, is replaced with gentle humility. I know a lot of people that are very prideful about their clothes. You can't tell me what to wear, and so on and so forth. If that is our mindset, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're already starting off a losing path. We can't teach Jesus Christ with that mentality, with those principles, with a prideful aspect. If we go into any Bible subject with this concept of, I know everything, I'm gonna show old Brad back there. Brad would probably show me something with his knowledge base of the Bible, but I'm going to show him how he's wrong on this subject or that. I'm already fighting a losing battle. And my overall message that I want to portray to him or that he portrayed to me is going to be lost because the heat waves are going to go up and it's going to be Brad versus Brock instead of us just sitting down and having a very nice, relaxing, loving, caring, encouraging Bible study with each other. So pride with all of his desires has got to be replaced with gentle humility. God finds one dwelling in his word and humbling themselves to it. Beautiful, awesome, encouraging. And he knows that from each and every one of us. We reflect not in the beauty of the world, but in the beauty of God. And I know what I just said is the polar opposite of what we see even happening in the church today. It's about self, self, self. I even know some gospel preachers that do this for the money. For the money. For their livelihood. I'm not saying I'm against paying preachers whatsoever. But if this is our main focal point of, hey, man, I'm going to go to Waynesville because I'm going to get paid. Man, I'm in this for the wrong reason. I'm in this for the complete wrong reason. We've got to reflect the beauty of God in our lives. Once my heart is in line, my appearance is going to fall in line as well. If my heart and my mindset is focused on God and godly principles, my outside should start reflecting that. And it might take outside a little bit to catch up on the inside. You know, maybe it's not a quick overnight thing, but if I'm truly working inside and working on this right here, this blood pump, right, this my heart, my overall conscience, then my outside is going to soon reflect that if it's not doing so already. And then if I do a modesty check and fail, what do I need to examine? Maybe, ladies, my shirt is being a little too low cut. Maybe this could possibly be revealing. If there's a question mark about it, put it away. It's like anything with religion. Hey, the fire is there. Don't go closer to it to see how close you get before you get burned. Just stay away from it, right? Just adapt to what God has instructed you to do. Listen to the message of God. Listen to how He talks to you in your life. I'm not talking, you know, from a casual conversation, but God speaks to us in our lives by the things that happen to us. Man, I've got a question about something. Oh, look what just happened in my life. That came from God. It had to. You know? What about somebody that's sick and the doctor has not given them any chance to live? And we've prayed for that person over and over and over again. Look what's happened. You know, they're alive and they're doing great. Not just in my style or how many inches, but it needs to examine my heart. If I do a modesty check within my heart, what is my heart going to say about me? Do I reflect the pride of life or the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? In closing, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is through the gospel that we become truly attractive. Again, it's nothing to say that we can't find beauty within ourselves. It's not to say that we can't dress appropriately to make ourselves feel good, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything, much like there is in the way that we dress and present ourselves. Christ cleans us up. He transforms us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through His blood we are cleansed, and we stay clean. This means being adorned in the right way, right? Do those modesty checks. And again, the reflection is not always on the outside. It's on the inward person as well. It means being adorned from the inside, and we have to do these heart checks. And so the lesson is yours for this morning. I hope I've made sense. I hope I've been able to say some things that has been encouraging and uplifting to all of you guys here this morning. Again, this is a sermon that, especially with the day and age that we live in today, you know, especially our young sisters in Christ, our young children, where society is saying, hey, you need to dress more scandalous. You need to dress more, more sexy and things like that. You know, it's important that all of us as parents and all of us as grandparents and the family of God raise each other up, and especially raise our young children up in the standards that God wants them to be raised in. Remember, Adam and Eve thought just little fig leaves could clothe them, and God said, no, time out. You know, we need to think about this a little bit more clearly. We need to think about this a little bit more abundantly, and making sure that we're doing with things that to do. If you're in the audience this morning and not a Christian, I've already kind of briefly gone over first principles, but if you are a Christian and have severed your relationship with Christ in some way, shape, or form, you need the prayers of the saints, much like we did just a little bit ago, please let us know how we can encourage you. While together, we stand and sing at this time.